Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud Aleph until Perek Dalet Mishnah Gimel. For the most part of the next two prokim, we're going to purely discuss the category of damage called shur, which is when an animal does damage. And this Mishnah is going to discuss a very important rule called Hamitz Michaveiro Olav Haraya, which means that if I come to you and I say the pen which you have, that actually belongs to me. And you say, no, what are you talking about? It belongs to me. So who keeps it? The answer is, obviously you keep it because you have it already. If I want to take something from you, I need to bring a proof that I'm entitled to it. And this applies equally to payment. So for example, if I tell you, hey, you damaged my property, so you need to pay me. So I'm trying to take money from you, and therefore I'll need to bring a proof that you did the damage. If I can't prove you did the damage, then I won't be paid for it. And therefore the mission tells us, shur shoy ridif acha shur acher. One ox was chasing after another ox. Let's say Reuven's ox was chasing after Shimon's ox, the huzak, and Shimon's ox gets damaged. So people saw that Reuven's ox was chasing Shimon's ox, but they didn't see Reuven's ox damage Shimon's ox. They just saw Shimon's ox was damaged, but they didn't see that Reuven's ox did it. So Ze'imer, Shimon says, Shechizik, your ox which was chasing my ox, that did the damage. But Ze'imer, but Reuven says, no, not true, Loichi, that's not the case. Elobasela loko, must have got injured on some rock or something, but it has nothing to do with my ox. So what's the halacha? Is Reuven going to be chayv to pay? No, unless Shimon can bring a proof that it happened, and meaning he brings witnesses who saw the damage take place from Reuven's ox, unless he can bring proof. We say that Shimon, since he is trying to take money from someone else, he needs to bring a proof that he's entitled to it, otherwise he doesn't get anything. And this is even though there's basis to assume it was Reuven's ox, because we saw Reuven's ox chasing after Shimon's ox. Nevertheless, since the actual damage was not witnessed, Reuven will not need to pay. Okay, scenario number two. Hoy shnayim rodfim acha echad. There were two oxen chasing after one ox. So let's say Reuven's ox and Levi's ox were chasing after Shimon's ox. And this time there were witnesses who saw the chasing, and there were also witnesses who saw the damage take place. However, the witnesses are not sure which ox did the damage. So we know it's either Reuven's ox or Levi's ox, but we're not sure which one. Zerimer, Reuven says, Shorchezek, Levi, your ox did the damage of Zerimer, and Levi says, no, Shorchezek, you, Reuven, you did the damage. Shneim Patur, and they're both potter. Why? Because again, we bring this rule of Hamitzi Mechavero, Olav Haraya. Let's say Shimon goes to Reuven and says, pay me the money. So Reuven will say, hang on, prove that I did the damage, prove that my animal did the damage. And then he'll go to Levi and he'll say, prove it that I did it. So since he can't prove which one did it, they'll both be exempt because of this rule. Okay. However, if both oxen which were chasing Shimon's ox belong to one person, let's say Reuven owns both oxen, in that case, the owner of both of them is obligated to pay, because whichever ox it was definitely Reuven's ox, so Reuven will definitely be the one paying. The only question is, what does Reuven pay? Because let's say both of Reuven's oxen were tam animals, which means they weren't regulars, and we said in a previous perek that when a tam gores, he has to pay, the owner of the tam has to pay for half the damage caused. However, he only does so if his own animal is worth half the damage. If his own animal is worth less than half the damage, then all he does is give him the value of his own animal and nothing else. So in our case, it would make a difference whether Reuven's paying half of the first one or half of the second one. Because the second one might not be worth the whole amount of the half damage, and then Shimon would only receive the value of the animal, but not the full amount which he should get for half the damage. So the halach is, we apply the rule of Hamitzi Mechaveh Olav Haraya, and so Shimon only gets the smaller amount. Okay, this case was where witnesses saw the damage take place. But the following case is, Reuven again had two animals, and one of them did the goring, but there were no witnesses who saw which animal did the goring. So the mission says, Hoya echad gadol v'echad katan. If one of Reuven's oxen was big, it was valuable, and the other was less valuable. Meaning, we learned early on in the Masechta that if the animal which does the damage is worth at least half the damage done to the nizak, to the animal which was damaged, then the nizak just takes the value of half the damage, takes the whole thing. However, the animal which did the damage, if it is worth less than half the damage, meaning less than the owner has to pay, then all the owner needs to do is give him that animal. He doesn't need to pay him the full amount. So in this case, one of Reuven's oxen was worth at least half the damage, which is the full damage he has to pay, but one was worth less. And we're not sure which one did the goring. If it was the one which was worth less, then Shimon will receive far less money, because he'll only receive the animal, but not the full amount which he was damaged. So Hanizik Omer, the one which was damaged, says, Hagadol Hizik, it was the larger one which did the damage, so you should pay me the full amount of half the damage. The Hamazik Omer, but Reuven says, no, Loichi, that's not the case, El HaKotan Hizik, rather it was the cheaper one which did the damage. Or what happens if Echol Tam Vechol Muad, one of Reuven's oxen was a Tam, one of them was a Muad. Hanizik Omer, Shimon says, Hamuad Hizik, the Muad did the damage, and therefore you should pay me the full damage. The Hamazik Omer, the Mazik says, Loichi, that's not the case, El HaTam Hizik, rather it was the Tam which did the damage, and therefore I only have to pay you for half the damage. Again, what do we say? Hamitz Mechaveh Olav Haraya. Shimon, who's trying to take the money, needs to bring a proof that he's entitled to the money. And in this case, if Shimon doesn't have witnesses, Shimon will get nothing. Not only will he not get the larger amount, He won't even get the smaller amount. Why is that? Because if you think about it, what's Shimon's claim? Shimon's claim is that Reuven's larger animal did the damage, or Reuven's moored animal did the damage. Shimon is making no claim about the other animal. It's as if Shimon is saying, let's ignore the other animal. I have no claim against the smaller, cheaper animal. And therefore, we only look at the larger animal. Does he have a proof about the larger animal? No, so he doesn't get paid. All right, that's okay. However, let's think about it. Reuven has admitted that he owes him the money. But even that doesn't help, because Shimon has no claim against that. And furthermore, we have a rule which we've mentioned already in the Masechta, which is called Meide Beknas Potter. If someone admits to owing a fine, he's exempt from paying it. Meaning, unless witnesses come and say he owes the fine, then he'll be chai. But if it's his own confession, that doesn't obligate him to pay the fine. So because of this, he won't need to pay, since we only look at Shimon's claim, and Shimon's claim is only about the bigger animal. So if he doesn't have a proof about the bigger animal, he doesn't get paid that. And in fact, he doesn't get paid anything. Okay, next scenario. What happens if Shimon actually had two oxen, and echad gadol echad katan, one was a large one was small, and Reuven also had two animals, echad gadol echad katan, one was large and more valuable, one was less valuable. So you have two of Reuven's oxen chasing after two of Shimon's oxen, and both of them get damaged. And this is the claim, as Shimon says, the larger animal injured the larger one, the less valuable one injured the less valuable one. Why would he say that? Because remember, we look at half the damage done, and we only give the full amount of that half damage if the mazik, the animal which did the damage, is worth that much. And therefore, it's worse off for Shimon if his animal was big and worth a lot, and Reuven's animal was worth a little. Because that would mean that Shimon would not be able to take the full amount which he should get. The mazik, and Reuven says, that's not the case, it was my little small animal which damaged your big one, so I should only need to pay that small amount. And my more valuable one damaged your small one, but that's fine, because your small one, the damage of half your small one is not worth so much. So I'll pay that full amount, but I don't want to pay the full amount of the larger damage. Echot ham lechot mod, or what happens if one of Reuven's oxen was a tam, one was a mod, and Nizik, the Nizik says, hamod hizik zagodol, the mod did the damage to the larger one. So for the larger damage, the larger amount that I'm due, you should pay me the full amount. Lahatam sakoton, and the tam injured the small one. And the Reuven says, Loichi, that's not the case. Elo hatam esagodo is more esakoton. The tam did the damage to the larger one, and the more did the damage to the smaller one. And therefore, I only want to pay the full amount for the smaller damage, and half the amount of the larger damage. That's an advantage for me. In all these cases, again, we say, Hamitz mechaveh olaf haraya. Shimon needs to bring a proof that he's owed the money from whatever he's claiming against. And if he has no proof, he has no witnesses, then Reuven will be exempt from paying anything. Because again, Shimon's claim is only on the larger amount. And so if he can't bring a proof about the larger amount, he gets nothing, even from the smaller amount, because that's not what his claim is on. Okay, Perek Dalet. As you mentioned, if a tam damages an animal, then the owner needs to pay for half the damage. However, as you mentioned again, if the animal which did the damage is not worth that amount of half the damage, then the owner doesn't need to pay half damage, it just needs to give him the value of his ox which did the damage. So the question is, how does this work? There's two ways to understand how this works. According to one opinion, we treat Shimon, let's say Shimon is the person who was damaged, the nizuk, we treat Shimon as a baal chayv, which is a regular person who is owed money by someone else. However, there's another option, and that is that we look at Shimon as a partner, someone who jointly owns Reuven's ox with Reuven. Basically takes over ownership of Reuven's ox, or at least part of Reuven's ox, however much he is owed the money. And we'll see what difference this makes exactly. But again, the two opinions is the first opinion just holds he's owed money. The second opinion holds that he literally owns part of the animal. So the mission tells us, sure, a ox, and we're talking about a tam ox, and this ox had a bad day. It went and gored 4 or 5 different oxen, one after the other. Now, he's considered a tam for all of them, even though after 3 he becomes a regular. That's only if he is taken to Beis Din in between. But here, the ox did it one after the other, and therefore, he's considered a tam for all 5. Yishalim la'achrin shabahem. The halacha is that the owner of that ox needs to pay the owner only of the last ox, which was gored. So let's say Reuven's ox gores Shimon Levi Yehuda's oxen. We'll take the case of 4 people involved, or even to make it simple, we'll say 3, it gored 3 people, 3 people's oxen. Yeah, so Reuven's ox gored Shimon's ox, and then it gored Levi's ox, and then it gored Yehuda's ox. So the halacha is he only needs to pay half of the damage which was done to Yehuda's ox. We'll explain the reason for that in a second. If there's leftover money in Reuven's ox, meaning the amount he paid to Yehuda is not the whole amount of his own ox's value. So then Yasser L'Shelefonov, he should give money also to the one before that, to Levi. So if there's leftover money from that, then Yasser L'Shelefonov, he should give money even to Shimon. And the rule basically is, v'ha'achrin achrin niskar, whoever was damaged later on is the one who gains. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Now what's going on? So according to Rabbi Meir, the person who's damaged or whose animal is damaged, that person does not become a partner in the animal. He's just considered someone who's owed money. Now the case of our Mishnah is not exactly how he described. Because what went on over here is that Reuven's ox gored Shimon's ox, and once it gored Shimon's ox, Shimon came along, he saw what had gone on, and he saw his ox is now dead on the floor, and Reuven's ox, who just killed his ox, is over there, and Shimon knows that he can now claim money from Reuven. And where does that money come from? It comes from Reuven's ox directly. And therefore, Shimon takes Reuven's ox, he takes hold of it, and is planning on taking it to Reuven and getting his money. Now, because he's now picked up this animal, he's now taken responsibility over it, because he's now going to look after this animal until Reuven comes along, and then he's going to claim his money from it. And so because he's taken responsibility for it, that means that if this animal now goes and does more damage, then Shimon will be the one who is chayav for that. So when Reuven's ox goes and gores Levi's ox, it's not Reuven who's obligated to pay for that, it's Shimon. Because Shimon took the animal and has now taken responsibility over it. And the same happened when Reuven's ox gored Levi's ox. Levi took hold of that ox, and after he took hold of it, it went and gored Yehuda's ox. So it comes out that Reuven owes Shimon, Shimon owes Levi, and Levi owes Yehuda. Now let's assume each ox is worth 200 zuz. How much is Reuven obligated to pay? The answer is only 100 zuz, because Reuven is only obligated to pay for Shimon's damage, because again, after that, someone else took responsibility for it. So Reuven only owes Shimon, and therefore Reuven can only owe maximum 100 zuz. Now, because they're all worth 200 zuz, that means Levi also owes Yehuda 100 zuz. So instead of Reuven paying Shimon, and then Shimon paying Levi, Levi paying Yehuda, because remember, they're all paying 100 zuz, we say Reuven should just pay Yehuda directly. Okay, that's the case where they're all worth 200 zuz. What happens, however, if Yehuda's ox was only worth not 200 zuz, but 100 zuz, which means Levi will only owe him half of that, which is 50 zuz. Now, assuming we keep all the other values the same, how much did Reuven owe? He only owed Shimon. Shimon didn't change, so Reuven owes Shimon 100 zuz. Shimon owes Levi 100 zuz. Levi owes Yehuda 50 zuz. So we say the same as before, Reuven pays directly to Yehuda, but this time he only pays him 50 zuz, which means that there's 50 more zuz which Reuven owes. So really, again, that should go to Shimon, and then Shimon should give it to Levi, because Shimon owes Levi money. So we say that Reuven gives it directly to Levi, and he gives him 50 zuz, so Levi's not actually getting paid for the full amount. Levi is owed 100 zuz. But since Reuven can only owe maximum 100 zuz, he's already given 50, and therefore Levi only gets 50 from Reuven. Okay, now what happens if we change the case to Levi instead of being owed 100 zuz? Let's say he was only owed 20 zuz. So Reuven would have paid Yehuda 50 zuz, and then Levi 20 zuz, and he's still got another 30 zuz, so he would give those 30 zuz to Shimon. So that's what the Mishnah means, that you pay first the last one, and then you go back until you get to the one you directly damaged, or owe money to directly, and if there's still money left, then you give him. Now we have Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon holds like the second opinion which we mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah, which is that Shimon, whose animal gets damaged, doesn't become a Baal Chayiv. It's not as if he's owed money. Rather, he partly owns part of Reuven's animal. And therefore, what difference does that make? When Shimon lifts up Reuven's animal and therefore takes over responsibility, that doesn't take the whole responsibility upon him. Because he already has part responsibility on that. Because he already owns part of it. And therefore, lifting it up doesn't change anything. He remains a partner. And therefore, he'll never be obligated to pay for the full amount of damage which that ox does to Levi's ox. He'll only have to pay for half with Reuven, because Reuven still owns part of that ox. So according to Rabbi Shimon is understanding it, this is going to be worse off for Reuven, because Reuven does still have responsibility for all the damages, not just the first one. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shor Shov Masayim, Shinar Shor Shov Masayim. Let's say Reuven's ox is worth 200 zuz, and Shimon's ox is worth 200 zuz, and Reuven's gored Shimon's. Vein hanavidio for klum, Shimon's dead animal is worth nothing. Zed nitol mone, Reuven takes 100 zuz, Shimon takes 100 zuz. Yeah, that's a simple case, where that's as if Reuven is paying for half the damage. Reuven owned 200 zuz before, and now he has to pay 100 zuz. So he is only left with 100 zuz himself, and Shimon gets 100 zuz. Okay, next case. Chozar v'nogach shorosho acher shor masayim. Reuven's ox now gores Levi's ox, which is also worth 200 zuz. So here, Reuven and Shimon split the cost. Instead of Shimon giving the whole 100 zuz to Levi, Shimon only needs to give half, so he gives 50, and Reuven gives the other 50. So ha'achron etol moneh, the last one, Levi takes 100 zuz. He takes 50 from Shimon and 50 from Reuven. Rishelefonov and the one before him, Shimon, he only gives 50, and therefore he's got 50 left. Zenutol chamashim zuz, he takes 50 zuz for himself. And what about Reuven? According to the Tanakhama, Reuven should have 100 zuz left, because he didn't have to pay anything for Levi. But here, according to Rabbi Shimon, he had to pay 50 for Levi's, and therefore he lost 50 instead of having 100 zuz. zuz, he only takes 50 zuz. Okay, what happens if this same ox goes and gores Yehuda's ox, which is also worth 200 zuz? So ha'achron, Yehuda takes netel mona, he takes 100 zuz, like always. But here there's three partners involved. However, the partners are not equal. Levi owns half of the animal which did the goring, and therefore he needs to pay for half damage, which is 50 zuz, which leaves him with another 50 zuz, which is 150 zuz. Levi ends up with 50 zuz. Ushnaim harishonim, Reuven and Shimon, they each own a quarter. Yeah, Levi owns half this animal. Reuven and Shimon own the other half together, and therefore they split the other 50 together, so they each give 25 zuz. And since they only had 50 zuz to start with here, they've already given 50 zuz away. Like we said in the previous case, each one takes 50 zuz. Now they've got to pay 25, so they're left with 25 each. Ushnaim harishonim, the first two, Dinai Zohov, they're left with a golden coin, which is worth 25 zuz. Again, why? Because they had to pay 50 zuz towards Levi, and now when it called again Yehuda's, they had to pay 25 towards Yehuda, and therefore they're left with only 25 out of the original 100. Mishnah Beis, again, if you recall, we've got a tam and a muad. A tam is an animal which is not a regular. A muad is an animal which gores regularly. And the main difference is, for a tam you have to pay half the damage. For a muad, you have to pay for the full damage. The Mishnah is going to introduce a concept where you can have an animal which is a muad in some areas and a tam in other areas. An animal which was a regular in terms of goring other animals of its own kind. Let's say an ox had gored oxen before, but he never gored horses. He's not a muad in terms of other animals. Or muad l'odom, let's say he's a muad in terms of goring people. He's not a regular in terms of goring animals. Muad l'aktanim, or he regularly gores young children. It's easier, so he might do it more. But he's not a regular for older people. The Mishnah says it makes sense, and you can have that he's a muad for certain things and not for the other things, and therefore esho muad lo, the things which he's regular for, that he gores those regularly, meshalim nezek shalim, he has to pay for the full damage. However, esho eidem muad lo, those things or people which he doesn't regularly gore, meshalim machatzi nezek, he'll only have to pay for half that damage. Om lifnei Rabbi Yehuda, the students of Rabbi Yehuda asked Rabbi Yehuda a question. What happens if an animal was a muad to just gore on Shabbos? The ein muad lachol. He never gored on chol, on a weekday. Does that make sense? Maybe is it coincidence, or it's actually the case that he only is likely to gore on Shabbos? And Lahemi said to them, indeed, la Shabbosis mishalim nezek sholim. If he goes on Shabbos, that's considered regular, so he'll have to pay for the full damage. But if he goes on a weekday, it's considered that he's not a regular for that, and therefore, Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, you'll only have to pay for half the damage. The Gemara explains that on Shabbos, people wear more colorful clothes, and therefore it agitates the animal more, so he's more likely to gore then, and that's why it's not just coincidence. And if he goes on a weekday, it's not considered a regular thing, because people aren't wearing colorful clothes, so there was nothing which made him likely to gore, and therefore we do view weekdays and Shabbos differently. Now, we said in the second perek, when does a muad become a tam once more if it has three opportunities to do it again and it doesn't gore? But here, three opportunities, it could have three opportunities during the week. So the Mishnah says, it clarifies, tam, when does he become a tam again? We only count the Shabbos days. So if he doesn't gore for three Shabbos days, then he becomes a tam again, and we don't look at the weekdays in terms of this. Mishnah Gimel, in the first perek, if you recall, we mentioned a lot of subcategories, like titles, which we'll discuss later on in the Masechta. So in this Mishnah, we're going to discuss a couple of them. Shoshu Sol, a ox which is owned by a normal Jew, Shonagach Shoshal Hekdosh, and it gored a animal which was set aside for the Beis HaMikdosh. Let's say someone set aside for it to be bought as a korban. Or shall hekdash, an animal which belonged to the Beis HaMikdash and not after the Church of Israel, which gored a normal Jew's ox. In that case, potter, the owner is exempt from paying. Shanem, as the pasuk says, shorei ehu, these damages apply only if it's the ox of his friend. And then obviously it excludes the Beis HaMikdash's property, and therefore the laws of damages don't apply to that. But o shoshal hekdash, it does not include the ox of a which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, next case. Shoshal Yisrael shonogach v'shoshal nochri. If a Jew's ox gores a non-Jew's ox, in that case, potter, you're exempt. And the Rambam explains why you're exempt. Let's say the non-Jews are ruled by the Jews, so they follow our halachas. You're exempt because non-Jews don't have laws in the same way as we do for damages which are for goring. And because they don't obligate each other to pay if the damages happen, so if a Jew damages them, we go with their rules. We say, fine, you don't force each other to pay, so we're not going to pay you, just like your rules dictate. And now we have another other way around. What happens if a non-Jew's ox gores a Jew's ox? In that case, interestingly, whether the non-Jew's ox is a regular or not, he has to pay for the full damage. And the reason for this is, like we said before, the non-Jews aren't concerned about these laws. They didn't have proper laws preventing people from doing damage, and therefore they didn't guard the animals. They just let them roam around, and they were more likely to do damage, and therefore we made sure to give them punishments in order to prevent them from treating these matters lightly, and to guard the animals in order to prevent them from doing damage.